So welcome everybody listening on the podcast today. I'm going to say the set aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help me glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's important to remember it's not my message, it's God's message. And I was reading the big book with my minister this week, and he loves it. And he made the point that no human could have written this. It was inspired, and I believe that. We're on the steps we took by Joe McHugh. I was just telling the group how Joe and Charlie changed my life and made me aware of what I needed to do to recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body, how to live a spiritual life, and it's all in the book. The steps we took, which we're covering now cover to cover, which I've never done that way, but I've covered it through the years. In fact, my wife says I probably bought 100 of them. Student thought that was pretty funny, but it's probably true. Used to give them out. We had meetings where we would read it in the beginning years. I encourage anybody to get it. It's on Amazon. You could read it with a sponsee, and it would really, it makes it very clear, very simple. So we're on step two, and he's talking a lot about how the surrender in step one makes step two possible. And I'll say it again, I guess I'm like Sandy Beach now, who used to do the first step at every meeting. The surrender, I believe, in the first step is not a choice. If it's a choice, then I can choose not to. I was surrendered. I had no way out. I felt completely trapped. And I remember the moment that I felt completely trapped, I said, you know, I'm done. I really said I was done. Didn't mean I was done with self-will and all the other nonsense and my silly thinking, but I was done trying to figure out how to do it. And so I remember I went to Sister Loretta and cried, and they got me help. And that changed. It was the beginning of this long journey 20 years later today. And so that surrender, I didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to surrender. You know, I think I'm going to surrender today. No, I just thought I was going to go in and die. I really did. I didn't know how it was all going to end, this and that. Anybody remember how powerless you were right before you surrender? And I don't want to forget that. And that surrender leads to what people think the surrender in step three is just a decision that you're not going to play God. Now, that's very important. But you're not going to make that decision not to play God till you're completely defeated in step one. And I really like that Father Leo talk. You can get that on XA Speakers. He's a good guy. And it's an old talk in the 90s. But he says the purpose of going to meetings is to keep your first step alive, to remember that moment so you don't get too far away from it. He's going to talk a little bit about that today. So we're on page 33. And then the surrender in step one produces something that's very powerful. It begins with a W called willingness. And the willingness we want in AA is 100% willing. You get it? It says, are you willing to go to any length, right? And are you completely willing? Now, complete defeat should make you 100% willing. Now, it doesn't always, and we're not talking absolutes here, but it says on page 28 or 29 that we seek with the desperation of a drowning man. And what turns out to be the flimsy reed turns out to be the hand of God. And so there's a reed that's given us in the beginning. It's very flimsy, but it's pretty strong. We don't realize it. And it's through people, and it's through the meetings, and it's through God. So let's see what he says. I think the very first step, surrender, we start to get it. Because surrender produces the power of believing. You're not going to believe that there's an alternative way until you give up your way. Everybody agree with that? sounds pretty straightforward. That's why people die. They're willing to do a change, but they don't want to give up their way. It's very subtle. It's very subtle. You're come to AA, your life's a mess, she's left you, they fired you, your car isn't towed away or whatever, you got court dates or whatever. And you're pretty willing, you come in crying and this and that. And then somebody says, then your mind tells you, well, I don't need to go to the Wednesday night meeting. I went Tuesday. And I don't need to really read the book. I'm a smart guy. You see how it works? It's very subtle. The ego rebuilds. And so surrender produces the power of believing. There's no way you can see or believe the truth until you've surrendered your old perception of the truth. And your old perception of the truth is everything that I thought I knew when I came in was wrong. I had two things that happened this week that told me that. I was watching this Netflix show, and I watched 20 minutes, and I said, I know what's going to happen. You know, it's pretty straightforward. I don't know how it got these good reviews, blah, blah, blah. So I decided I wasn't going to watch. And then I thought about it. I sat there. I said, well, you know, whenever you do that, you're always wrong. It's always good. So watch a little bit more, and it's great. I can't wait to watch the last two episodes tonight. I mean, my life's pretty simple. I'm old. I'm 71. That's what makes me happy. So anyway, the old perception of the truth. I couldn't see that my resentments were wrong until I was willing to let go of them, or my fears were wrong, and my behavior was wrong, and that I was the problem and not them. And remember, the truth sets you free. And how do we find the truth in AA in steps 4 and 5 is the beginning? We seek it. We understand the truth that I can't fix my problem in step 1, but we see the truth about our thinking in steps 4 and 5. I think I'm doing pretty good without my notes. Change, well, don't laugh. Stop it. Change actually begins, for those on the podcast, I always make notes and have a copy, and I forgot it at home and brought the wrong one, so I don't know. I shouldn't have drank last night. No, I'm being silly. Change actually, now this is in squiggly writing. Change actually begins with surrender, because you can't see another alternative until you surrender your way of doing things. And somebody celebrated a birthday, and I asked him, how are you letting God do it? And he said very well that he's listening to his sponsor. And I have to listen to somebody else besides me. And I do that. I have people I call all the time. Stu gets a daily call, and here's the nonsense in my head. Stu's a great man, and he's still sober listening to that. And then the dominoes start to fall. And this, for those who don't have the book, they have 6 dominoes. One's willingness, belief, decision, actions, results, and faith. This is very important. Willingness, belief, decision, action, results, and faith. That's the whole deal in AA. That's it. It's not meetings. It's not drinking coffee. It's doing these dominoes in order to get the spiritual result, which is a relationship with God. And it's true for all human beings who want to change. And willingness is produced by pain. Anybody have a lot of pain when they come in here? Things not going well? I can't help the people come to AA and having a good day, and they heard that AA may help them a little bit. You know. Pain makes you willing. And when people go out, or whatever you call it, they're not bad. And I love them. I'm glad I'm not there. But they don't have enough pain yet. And my sponsor, Cliff, who died, 13 years ago, he used to say, buy him more booze. He wasn't mean. He was a very kind, loving man. But they're not. Alcohol will bring you to your knees. And at some point, maybe you'll have enough pain that the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same. And willingness. And it has to be 100%. And how do you stay 100% willing? You stay with your first step. And that's why meetings are important. And fellowship is important, to stay around other people, have the same, we've all been shipwrecked, but we have a common solution. And then belief, willingness pushes belief. And then the belief pushes the decision in step three. But if you've only done those first three dominoes, you don't have any results yet. And you have to take the action. And then the action produces the results of trust in God. Living on a different basis, trusting and relying upon God, and that's true faith. Belief won't help you in AA, because belief without action is fantasy. We get faith in AA is trust in God. True, and they talk about that in the scriptures, that really faith in Christ is trust in Christ alone. And you can believe, but then how are you trusting? Are you trusting? Are you living your life trusting God? It's as a set of row of dominoes. You push over the first one, it knocks over the second one, and it knocks down the third one, and so on. There's really no more energy needed after the first domino. Think about that. All the energy comes from the first step. Now, I wrote every time, and it says every time we take the first step again, we generate the energy all over again. And then here's the problem with that. Everybody agree with that? Here's the problem. Every time you get away from your first step, you get less energy. And that's the problem. We're a magnet. God is a magnet, and we're a paperclip. And when we're close to Him, we get all of His power. And the first step keeps us close to the magnet. But when we get away from our first step, we start pulling that paperclip further and further away. And there was somebody here, he's not here tonight, who had 9 years, used to help me open the meeting. And then after a few years, he decided that he wasn't an alcoholic anymore. He actually believed it. He explained it to his wife. And then after 2 months, things were not going well. And he's back now, God bless him. But that really helped him to see the truth. So you don't want to get away from your first step. Surrender is understood as such a negative word. Most people think it means you have lost the whole war. But we know you have to surrender to win. We say that in AA, and I think that is true. But a good general knows how to surrender what's in his own advantage, and we come out in a better position. Isn't that amazing? Anybody come in here in a bad position? I'm looking at some bad positions around the room. And I was in a really bad position, and it's hard to believe the grace of God where we are today, isn't it? Isn't it, guys? And you can talk about that when we open up. I'm not going to talk forever. When we see that we are defeated, they love that. I'm in a good mood. I'm going to see my little 7-year-old play basketball at noon, so I'm excited. But my granddaughter, by the way. You guys are killing me. When we see that we are defeated, it opens the door to 1,000 other opportunities. You have to be defeated on your way. Now, how do I know when people are defeated? They'll follow instructions. And they're not complicated, like call me, listen to this podcast, take notes. 30-minute podcast, take some notes, show me the notes. Not asking them to climb Mount Everest to run a 26-mile marathon. And a lot of people cannot do that. They just, and I ask them why, and well, I just don't know. Because it's very hard to give up on self. Very hard. But once you do, it's so easy. So what seems so hard at first becomes so easy once you do it. And once you turn your ship around to a different way and you start doing it, we talk about that at AA. Once you start doing it and it works, you want to keep doing it. When we talk about a power greater than ourselves, we have to be open to what that might be. But it can't be me, right? And remember, you have to be 100% powerless, and you want a power that's 100%. So, you know, they used to talk about the doorknob and this and that and all that. Well, that's fine. I don't have an opinion on that, but I want my, it says, we seek God who has all, there's one who has all the power. That one we call God. So God is defined in AA as that which has all power. How can you argue with that? There has to be something that has all power, and we call it God. Now, when you start out with that and you believe, when you get to faith, you trust it. You know God has all power. God can relieve your fear, and He can relieve your anger, and He can keep you from drinking, and He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. It could be another person. Now, it starts out with people in AA. That's why we say get a sponsor and go to meetings and get phone numbers and stay in touch with people who are doing the deal. And that's, God works through people. He's always done that. It might even be an institution. The point is, we can't find, and it can be AA in the beginning. And I've heard people say the group's my higher power. Well, that's nothing wrong with that in the beginning, but you don't want that to be your higher power at year 10. You know, but you want it the first month is pretty bad, isn't it? A lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. First few months, it's tough. So you want to stay close to the fellowship, and you always want to stay close to the fellowship, but the fellowship is not going to give you the power. The fellowship is designed to lead you to the power. And that's where sometimes today we get away from that. We can't find a solution until we give up on our solutions that aren't working. Now, how do you know your solutions aren't working? You're here. You look at your life. You see your situation, but you have to see the truth of it. Now, a lot of times people say it's really bad, it's miserable, I don't want to go on like this. But a week later, they're convinced that it wasn't really that bad. You know, I'm overreacting. Remember the Fred? Fred wouldn't admit he was an alcoholic, right? He thought they were and he said he thought he had been making too much of this. And then he went to Washington and decided to have a drink after a successful day. And then he ended up a mess. And when they came back, he said, you guys were right. And then he knew he was an alcoholic. He knew he was powerless to run his own life. When we surrender, God helps us find what we need, and frequently it is other people. As I know I asked God for help. I got on my knees, and I absolutely am convinced and will tell anybody that God has done for me what I could not do for myself. He still does. As soon as I surrendered, he got the idea to go to the state hospital, and that's where I found the people who were used as the power greater than myself. And you can hear Joe's story on XA Speaker. It's from 1986, I believe, which could help restore me to sanity. That was the beginning for me right there. Sometimes we struggle with wanting to understand the power of self, because we're very bright. Anybody bright in the room? Anybody not bright? Okay, we're very bright. Alcoholics are very smart. I heard an alcoholic tell me that. We have very high intelligence. I laughed at him. I said, we may have high intelligence, but we've done some really unintelligent things. But we don't want to understand God when we start with belief. We just want to believe that there is a power that can help us. And then who reveals himself to us? God. God, it says God will reveal, God can and will if he were sought. God will. That's what AA's message is. Don't worry about who God is. Do the deal and see what happens and tell us about it. And that's what the new book is all, the big book's all about. There are many powers I don't understand. Now here he's talking about electricity. You turn the switch on, expect the lights go on. The lights don't go on, you get upset. Well, what I don't understand is I'm waving my hand and there's some cloud or internet or something waving through the air. Anybody turn on your smart TV and expect Netflix to come up? How does that happen? You know, how do we get these things that we accept? We accept all that, right? But it's very hard for people to accept that there's a power that runs the universe. Think about that. And it says, one way we can come to believe is to see all the people around us who God has changed, and that's what AA is supposed to do. It's supposed to show us people who have changed. They tell us how bad it was for them, and then what's happened to them, and then what it's like now, so that you will want to have what they have. It says if you're willing to want what we have, you're willing to go to any length to get it. Now, to want to have what they have, you have to stop wanting what you have. So if you still want what you have, you're not going to be willing to go to any length to get what they have. Now, when people come in, I don't know that this is what Joe and Charlie said, and Sandy Beach says, we don't usually ask the newcomer for his plan. And we don't write it down and say, wow, that's great, I want to do that. No, we don't care what their plan is because it hasn't worked. And all we tell them is, fine, if your plan hasn't worked, do the first 88 pages in here. Do everything in it and see what happens to your life. So this is becomes the last option. And that's why this book doesn't work for people who are half done. This book was written for those who were completely defeated. It says, we had a hopeless condition of mind and body. We had a futile way of life. And these are the specific directions on how we recovered. So, one of these principles, one of the steps by itself is not effective. The first step is not going to bring change. We are talking about a set of principles, and they are all necessary. What a shock. I remember people who told me, well, I don't want to do step five. I'll do eight. I have had people start with eight and nine. They go home from treatment and they start making amends. It doesn't go well. I don't know if you were at the meeting 10 years ago when Matt came and he had come home from treatment and it didn't go well. And he shared that. And once he shared that, the meeting was over. Everybody had to give him advice and this and that. And he's sober 10 years now and has helped a lot of people. And he's actually a chaplain at the treatment for a while. He's a minister now. He was a minister. Have you ever heard half measures produce nothing? So half of the steps produce nothing. A lot of people talk about the four step, like it's like climbing Mount Everest. It's very simple. You make columns, you write things down, and then you share it with somebody. But it's only step four. Hello. And step 10 is where you do steps 1 and 9 every day. Now, if you haven't done steps 1 and 9, you don't understand steps 6 and 7 and your character defects and how you want to let God change you. How are you going to go through the day and get undisturbed? Anybody get undisturbed in here at all? I joke around a lot. Mark wanted me to do another four step because I was complaining about going down the at the Hy-Vee yesterday or Wednesday, and I was joking that they were taking everybody ahead of me and they didn't know. Because, you know, it's on my chest, Michael the Magnificent, you've seen it. And, you know, they were ignoring me. And I just laughed at myself. I point out these examples because that's how crazy we used to be, that we used to get disturbed over nonsense. But half of the principles won't do anything. They interlock and they follow. And you have to, it's a continuous steps. It's 1 through 12 all the time, every day. And it's the principles of life. Believing that a power greater than ourselves could restore society is the cornerstone on which we're going to build our spiritual lives. I don't know about anything, any building. I don't know anything about it. But I was talking about the Vatican last night, which, by the way, is a really big church. I mean, really big. You could get 3-4 football fields in there. And they've got this huge dome. I don't. Maybe people here have been there. It's unbelievable when you stand there. And I was thinking when I was looking at this, the cornerstones take all, it all comes down onto those areas. All the, when you're building the arch, the cornerstone bears all that pressure. Think of that. And if you don't have a solid cornerstone, it's not going to work. Remember, we're building an arch to freedom. The foundation has to be 100% willingness. And in step five, it says, did you build it on rock or in sand? That comes from Scripture, Matthew. What are you building your spiritual recovery on? Is it rock? And then is the cornerstone is belief? And what's the keystone that holds the arch in place? Stu, don't answer. What's the keystone that holds the arch in place? Step three, the decision that you're not going to play God is the keystone of the arch to freedom. And then 4 through 9 is how you fill it out. And then step 10 says, we have entered the world of the Spirit. You go through that arch and you're with God. On the other side of the arch, you're in your world. How'd that work for you? Doesn't work. So I want to get into God's work. Now here's the key. Once you get there, you want to stay there. So you have to do step 10 and 11 every day and work with others and carry the message. So it says, believing that a power greater than ourselves can restore us, the same as the cornerstone on which we're going to build our spiritual lives. When you hear that a new, because belief drives everything. When you believe, you change, you decide to change, you take the actions to change, and you're changed. You're not the same person. You can't be. And you have to continue to do it, or else you lose that connection. You don't get a diploma in AA. What you get, what's the highest office in AA? Trusted servant. And all you get in AA is the ability to do it every day. Every day is a daily reprieve. And the more you help other people, the more reprieve you get. That's the other thing that's not emphasized. The more you work with people and you're trying to help others and love your neighbors yourself, the more spiritual power you get. And it's not your power, it's God's power. And it's the same way with our, at first we don't see much when we look at the cornerstone, but this coming to believe is the very basis on which all the rest of our spiritual lives is built. I was meeting with somebody yesterday. They always have a lot of fears. And this person got Employee of the Month. I said, you mean they didn't fire you? No, he got Employee of the Month. And I said, well, what a shock. So the next time he worries about some nonsense that they don't like him or the boss doesn't love him and all that, you know, you just have to say to yourself, well, gee, I got Employee of the Month. You see? And your fears melt away because you trust God. Who do you work for? God. You work for God. You trust Him. These 12 steps contain the principles of the way we change. What you believe, this is really important, is what you're going to become. And what you believe is what you become, good or bad. If you believe they're the problem, how's your life work out? Then you become angry and resentful and fearful. If you believe that you're God and God is nothing and you're everything, what happens? You have resentment and fears. Now, if you believe that God's in charge of your life and he wants you to be love, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate, and you come to be that way, your life is going to be better. When our lives are in a mess, we've been believing something that's untrue, making decisions and taking actions based on untrue belief. And you see that in the fourth step. Till you really do an honest fourth step, you can't see how you were the cause of all your problems. Who made decisions based on self that hurt me? Me. Who was the root of my problem? Me. It's a son of a bitch when you come in and you have to see that it's not them anymore. And it can take a while. It can take months to get over. Doing a thorough fourth step doesn't take long, but to keep seeing your resentments, seeing your fears, saying the prayers, realizing these things. You don't want to make your life based on wrong beliefs, do you? Wrong belief leads to wrong actions. That's what we're going to talk about in step three, what makes up self-will. We've been running headlong into a brick wall and keep running into it. It's like that play where they run number 31 off the right tackle, and he runs into his rear end, and they get 1 yard. And then I said, well, run that one again. That was good. So they run it again. They keep running it to the rear end. And eventually they decide, well, let's run on the other side. And they gain 10 yards. I'm being silly, but alcoholics keep running into a brick wall. And then we say, how'd this happen? Anybody do that? Anybody want to change and be a better person before they came to AA? And you wait, and you get out of the car, and I'm not going to carry on today. I'm not going to get upset. We all wanted to do that, right? Those are called moral and philosophical convictions in Kaur, but I didn't have the power to follow through with that. I can't defeat my self-centeredness on my own, and we're going to look at that starting on Wednesday. It has to come from God. I don't have the power to be not self-centered. That's my normal state of affairs. That's why we're having the problem in the first place. So what we have to do is believe differently. When we believe differently, we decide differently. So I believe that I shouldn't be running the world, right? So then the decision not to play God makes sense, doesn't it? And why? Because I'm not God. It took me a long time to realize that. We believe different, we decide different, we choose differently, we act differently, we become different. That's the whole deal. It's not emphasized enough. That's why I like this book. It's so clear. It's so clear. And then in step three, in making a decision, we're going to look at that. Now, in this process of spiritual growth, I'm just going to read this. Is this okay? Good. Believing is the beginning of each thing that we accomplish in my life. I had to believe I could become a doctor, right? To then want to go to Duke because it had good pre-med, and then I took all those stupid courses, and then I got into school. And I remember, belief drives you. To be successful, believing must be strong enough to make a decision, which is a course of action. Now, I believed I could be, I wanted to be a doctor. And I decided that that's what I wanted to do. But I'll take 1 minute. When I was a sophomore at Duke, I had to get good grades my second semester. It was very competitive. This was 1969. And it was a very hard school at that time, C curve, C plus curve. And I had to take organic chemistry final, 3-hour final was the first day of exam period, and the physics, the advanced physics, was the last day, which means I had to study for like 10 days, and then I had the math finals in between. And I remember I studied so hard for that organic chemistry, and I did very well, and I really studied. And then I had to study for that physics, and I didn't want to do it, but I studied so hard. And then I remember I went in, and the exam was so hard. I don't know what was wrong with these people. But I remember halfway through, I went to the bathroom. I said, I don't know if I can go back in there and finish that test. And then I went back in, and I finished it, and I'm here today. But I had to believe, I had to decide, but then I had to take the action. See, if I just believed and decided and didn't study, I wouldn't have done it. You get it? And it's the same thing in AA. Sorry to get off. I don't know if that helped at all. Once the action becomes strong enough, it brings about results. Once the results are plain and clear, we have faith. Faith is true knowledge that comes as the result of action. I'll read that again. Faith is true knowledge that comes as the result of action. True knowledge. Now think about that. We talk about believing in God. That's okay. Good. But faith is true knowledge of God. We're not an agnostic anymore, and it's the result of action. And that true faith as a result of action means I go to God now when I don't like the way I'm seeing things. When I'm waiting in line at IBM, I just said, God, I have nothing to do. Here you go. Took me 10 seconds or 5 seconds to get undisturbed. And I know if I go to God, He will do it for me. But I have to go to Him. And the 12 steps are based on these plans, and this it shows step 1, willing, step 2, believe, step 3, decision, step 4, inventory to change, so you know what to change, and then the actions to change, and step 12 is your change. We should not expect faith in step 2. Many people fail because they're expecting true knowledge by faith before they make a decision to take any action, or before they do any action. We cannot begin with faith. We can only believe in the beginning. And this is really different. This is where AA, I think, has really helped me. Trust in God is different than believing in God. Trust is a living relationship with God. They talk about that in the New Testament. Do you want a living relationship with the Lord? Then you have to trust in Him and make Him the center of your life. So I'm going to end with that. And next week we'll open with step 3, and I'll have copies of the handouts for those who won't have the book. Thank you.